So let me pray as we start the service. Our Lord, as we continue to think about our front lines, what our front lines look like, what it looks like to be your people in the world, in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, Lord, help us to hear from you. What are you saying to us in our unique circumstances? Lord, help us to hear you, help us to follow, help us to be inspired by what you are doing in the world around us. Help us to see you and to be just inspired about following where you lead. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We're going to start off by singing. We're going to be singing Water You Turned Into Wine. It's this idea that actually Jesus changes things. And, you know, we may have all kinds of ideas about what we want to happen, but what does he want to have happen? The confidence that we can have as Christians is that God's will not be thwarted, whatever it is. And yet we don't always know what it is. And so we pray that he will be helping us to see him in our everyday lives. So, Water You Turned Into Wine. Okay, so hopefully if anyone saw the notice before the service, hopefully you have a pen and paper somewhere within reach. That would be great if you could grab hold of it. We are going to be doing one of the exercises that the Frontline Sundays ask us to do as we think about what it means to be authentically Christian in the circumstances that we find ourselves in through just through the regular course of our lives. So it's for your benefit only. It's not for something to show other people. So, you know, don't worry about what you might or might not write down. Like I said, we've been thinking about our front lines, our points of connection, and how we can live on those front lines in ways that honor God. So on your paper, what I want you to do is I want you to leave a space at the top, and then write down, if you like, the job title of your front line. Now, that sounds slightly odd because for lots of us, front line won't be a formal job title of any kind at all. Obviously, for me, if I was to be doing that, what I would be doing is I would be, for example, writing down vicar on my piece of paper, because actually, I have all kinds of connections with people beyond the church in my role as the vicar. So that would be what I'd be writing down. You might write anything different down at all. It doesn't have to be a employed job. It can be anything that puts you in contact with people who don't yet know Jesus. From the videos that we've been watching from Frontline Sundays, if you remember, we have a plumber, so that they will be writing that down. We have a football coach, doing a voluntary role. We have a granny and we have an office worker. But what would be yours? So the idea is actually to think about, and the point of writing it down is that sense of clarifying for yourself what we are talking about. So what would be yours? Mine would be vicar. Lots of points of connection there. And then under that, what I'd like you to do is like you to think about and write down three things that are, if you like, your job description in that role. Now, obviously, like I'm saying, it's not necessarily a job at all, but what would you be writing down as the things that make up what you do in that role? Now, I haven't put a huge amount of thought into it, so please don't pick me up for being theologically incorrect or anything like that. But as vicar, I might put down these things. I might put down that I organize stuff to help people grow in faith. So helping people grow in faith is one of the things I do on my front line. One of the things I do is communicate the good news of Jesus to everyone. Obviously, we have a parish full of people and beyond, and part of my role is to communicate the good news of Jesus in that context. Actually, that's obviously, hopefully everyone will be putting that down on their front line. And one of the things that I spend a lot of time doing is addressing individuals' questions and concerns. That's a little bit of a catch-all, I realize, but those are the kinds of things that I do on my front line as my job description. But what about you? What would your job description look like if you were writing down what your front line looks like? Okay, just give you a few moments to think about that. I'm only asking for three things, so it might be quite difficult. You might have to do what I've done and do sort of catch-alls and try and put a lot into a little. But three things that are your front line. What I want you to do then, hopefully you've left a little bit of space at the top of the piece of paper. Because what I want you to then do is think about how those things which make up what you do on your front line would change if at the top of the paper, you explicitly were making the point, you are a child, I'm a child of my heavenly father, but who's the king of the universe, who also happens to be, so I'm a child of my heavenly father, the king of the universe, who also happens to be vicar in my case. And then, okay, so just if you were to write that across the top of your piece of paper, child of my heavenly father, who's the king of the universe, and I also happen to be, the priority is that we're children of God. Secondarily, we have our front line. And how does our identity as children of God affect what we do on our front line? Okay, so write that across the top piece of paper. And then we are thinking about our job description and how it might change our view of our job description, if you like. Now, obviously, this doesn't work so well if I happen to be the vicar of the church, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to assume that I'm actually going to have a completely different role. Suppose I was the middle manager of something, and I didn't particularly enjoy my job, but I happened to know that that's what God had called me to, and that happened to be my front line. So I've taken on the role of generic middle manager. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to pick on anyone here. I have nobody's job in mind, but suppose that my job was my front line, and I was thinking middle manager. And I didn't really like my job, and I spent my time making boring spreadsheets, managing difficult people, and trying to satisfy demanding bosses. Okay, so suddenly my front line has become that. How does my front line change when I write it like that? How does my front line change when I remind myself I may be a middle manager, but I'm a child of my heavenly father, who's the king of the universe, and I also happen to be this middle manager? It might change in all kinds of ways, because actually making boring spreadsheets might suddenly become understanding how God makes things work. Well, let's face it, that's what the point of a spreadsheet is, isn't it? To understand things better. So it might change like that. Managing difficult people might become actually helping others to flourish. Satisfying demanding bosses might become loving those who God created in his image. So how about you on your front line? How do things change when you specifically remember that you are where you are as a representative of the King, child of God, on your front line, whatever your front line happens to be? Give you a moment to think about that. So what I'm asking you to do is really just to imagine what it could be like to see things from God's perspective, to see your life from God's perspective. And after the service, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be asking you in our prayer time after the service, some of the things that you are challenged to see differently or what you need prayer to see differently. Because obviously some of our circumstances are actually very difficult to see differently. And we might need to be asking for prayer to help to see them differently. Seeing things from God's perspective. And I'm going to ask us to form our prayers of confession this morning a little bit around those kind of ideas as well. So we're going to move on. Hopefully keep that piece of paper in front of you for after the service if you want to ask us to be praying about your front line and how you view your front line after the service. But we are going to be moving on to confess to God actually that we don't always have his perspective on our front lines. So our prayer of confession this morning. Lord, we are often slow to follow the example of Christ. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We often fail to be known as Christ's disciples. So Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We often fail to walk the way of the cross. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. But of course, God knows what our front line is like. God knows our attitude to it. He knows his attitude to it. And actually, when we come confessing that we don't always get it right, let's hear his forgiveness for us. So may the Father forgive us by the death of his Son and strengthen us to live in the power of the Holy Spirit all our days. Amen. So we are going to continue in this theme, thinking about these front lines. And it's slightly odd to be doing this, but we are going to do it from the perspective of prayer. So Keith is going to bring us our Bible reading, which includes the Lord's Prayer. So Keith.
The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the gospel of Christ.
Thank you, Keith. Let me pray for us as we come to consider God's word to us this morning. So, Lord, we pray that as we consider the Lord's Prayer, as we consider your teaching on prayer, that you'd help us to see how that plays into, fits into, directs, leads, guides the way we are when we're on our front line, whatever we are doing during the rest of the week. Led, guided, and directed by you as we think about the Lord's Prayer. So, Lord, help us to hear you this morning. Amen. Okay, so this talk is entitled Whoever You Are. So we've been thinking about on the Frontline Sundays, whatever we do, whoever we are, and it's about encouraging us that actually, it's less about the things that we do, but it's more about the attitude that we go into it with, because God can use that in ways that we sometimes couldn't even imagine. So whoever you are is about encouraging everyone that we all have a part to play in God's plans. So it, like I say, it may seem really odd to start that off by talking about prayer, but that is where we are going this morning. The idea is this. The idea is that everyone prays, not just us who are here, part of the church, but actually, when we think about it, even in wider society, in some form or other, everyone prays somehow, some way to someone. And my encouragement to you this morning is that if your prayers look even vaguely like the Lord's Prayer, then strap yourself in for the ride, because the Lord can do extraordinary things in you, in people you know, in your circumstances, and in the whole of life as you experience it. It may not be the sea parting. It may not be fire falling, the sun going backwards, or the dead being raised. But you know what? It's equally miraculous when forgiveness comes, when hardship is endured, when the hungry are fed, and when lives are reborn in Jesus' name. So like I said, everyone prays, and I really mean it, not just the church folks, actually everyone prays in some form or other. Think about the desperate prayers that have been going on this last week in front of the TV. Oh, Lord, please let Liverpool win. Desperate prayers. But much more seriously, on the COVID ward, I don't want to die. On Saturday evening, we know our country is full of desperate people, fingers crossed for the lotto numbers. On the way to the interview, I need this job. They may not call them prayers, but that's what they are. They are prayers in the truly pagan sense of the word. And yes, I am suggesting that our country may be reverting, and I'm going to come back to this in a moment. But I've been reading a fascinating book, 1966 book called Christianity Rediscovered. It's by a Catholic priest called Vince Donovan. And he is describing his missionary work amongst the pagan Maasai tribe in East Africa. They pray all right, but how pagan are those prayers? Praying for fertility, praying for prosperity, praying for revenge. They believe in a remote, distant, disinterested God that doesn't know their circumstances and doesn't much care either. So every detail of every hardship must be spelled out in minute detail, in any attention-grabbing way possible. As Jesus says in verse 7 of the passage we've just heard, they babble like pagans because, in verse 8, they didn't pray knowing that their Father already knows and cares. They babble like pagans because they didn't know that God already knows and cares about their circumstances. And actually, you get very much the same sort of not understanding God with British pagan prayers. The prayer for Liverpool to win really says, God, you are my God, our God, but you're not Manchester's God. You're certainly not London or Leicester's God. It's a my gain at your expense kind of prayer. And actually, the more you think about it, that just sort of reverts to a pagan local deity. The idea of a local deity idea, my God and not your God, should be looking after me, God. But it's not just prayers that are my gain at your expense kind of prayers that can become pagan. Even prayers that don't require somebody else to be a loser can still be quite pagan, and actually within our wider culture often are. It sounds good, doesn't it? Prayers for health, healing, for a family, great things to be praying. God, grant these good desires of my heart. Yes and amen. But actually, we are corrupt people living in a corrupt culture, and we can still paganize even these great prayers. When the prayer degenerates to, God, this is my plan, make it happen. I've said my prayers, I've given to the poor, I've bowed down, I've thrown a penny in the well. Now it's your turn, God, step up. When our prayers degenerate to that kind of level, we may be praying, but we are very much the tail trying to wag the dog. So what I want to draw attention to is three hallmarks of actually what are quite pagan kind of prayers. When you need to spell out the details as if God doesn't know. When you pray me first, them after, and forget that God is everyone's God. And when the prayer is, God, step in line with my plans rather than the other way around. And you know what? We all do it from time to time, don't we? It's not as if we are exempt. We might see a lot of it in wider, beyond the church kind of culture, but actually we can easily slip into those kind of prayers. So we do it, our wider culture does it. And Vince Donovan most definitely found that the Maasai of East Africa did it. When the Maasai clans he worked with came to faith, he then had this dilemma, how to teach them to pray truly Christian prayers, but then without influencing their cultural style or importing Western values. And his solution was to teach them nothing except the Lord's Prayer, and then make that the starting point for their own unique cultural expressions of prayer. So he teach them just the Lord's Prayer and nothing else to build on as the model for praying into the future. What we find is that if we are prayers of the Lord's Prayer, then everything about our life and our attitude to life changes. So work with me on this for a moment, because praying Our Father, actually it means that we believe we are known and loved by God. You are known and loved by God when you pray Our Father. There's no need for the babbling prayers. There's no need for us to justify ourselves to him. He knows what we're like. But nonetheless, we believe he is there for us, just as we are, but ready to lead us on. So praying Our Father says that we know that we are known and loved by God. Praying, hallowed be your name. Praise your name. Your name be lifted up. You take the lead. Means that us, the tail, actually let God do the wagging. He calls us to his purposes. We are not conscripting him to our cause. He is graciously calling us to his cause. Whoever you are, your life is part of his plans. He has plans for each of us. He knows us, he loves us, he has plans for each of us. And then we pray, your kingdom come. And when we pray, your kingdom come, actually it is a prayer for regime change. You have just become a revolutionary. The pagan instinct of my will be done gives way to the Christian instinct of God, your will be done. Again, we pray it because we believe that God has purposes for us. Lord, your will be done in my life, because actually you have a will for my life, Lord. Help me to follow. Praying, give us today our daily bread, recognizes that every necessity, our life, our health, and our well-being, they are all present day gifts from God. The prayer is that we would trust God every day, not for riches, but for what we need. A prayer for riches, for excess, very quickly denigrates into a pagan prayer. My needs at the expense of your needs. But that's not what we're doing. We're not praying as if God were my God and not yours. No, prayers of the Lord's Prayer can give the excess back to God, knowing that they have all they need to follow his lead and live the life that he has for us. We rely on God for the present moment. Praying, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, actually it breaks the cycle of past failure. It's a prayer that says, I'm at fault. I know I'm at fault. It says, I know I'm not perfect. And in faith, I will choose to forgive others who are not perfect, not because it's what I find easy or natural, but because I am Christian and not pagan. My life belongs to Jesus, who has already forgiven me. You see, only with the confidence of being a loved and forgiven person can I love and forgive others. Praying, lead us not into temptation, means that we recognize the danger of following our own instincts. Temptation and evil would surely follow. Prayers of the Lord's Prayer recognize actually there is both good and evil. There are choices to make that have real consequences. The one, the good to be sought after, the other, the evil to be avoided at all costs. And we know how easy it is to get it wrong. So humbly we pray for guidance. Whoever you are, I encourage you to pray the Lord's Prayer into your frontline situation. This is not a call to try harder to be Christian wherever you are. Actually, it's a call to allow God to be at work in us. We know that he loves us. There's no need to babble. We know that he is everyone's God. So we pray for and we live for the common good. And we know that he invites us to join his cause and not the other way around. So the pressure is actually off us. We are not the ones driving the train, but we do get to enjoy the scenery. What we're going to do is we're going to watch the video that LICC have produced to go along with this Frontline Sunday. And then we are going to pray the Lord's Prayer. And let's be listening for the voice of God's Spirit speaking into our specific situations. How is God calling you to be his representative, his person in the situations that you uniquely find yourselves in? So let's watch the LICC video first. Be thinking, be praying about that, and then we will come to pray the Lord's Prayer after.
Evening comes.
Lay tasks to rest.
Thoughts reflecting on the day.
The gifts you give.
The people you trust me with.
What an honor it is
to work within your plan.
You know my name.
For the work you give me, your strength sustains.
Yet I am more to you than instrument.
I am son, daughter, friend.
In my inmost, knit to you.
Inseparable.
Invaluable.
Loved.
Celebrated.
Heard.
Pursued.
Grace abounding.
Found in you.
My work could not win this gift from you.
And so we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And we are going to continue with prayers. Jenny is going to lead us. She's going to put something up on the screen, so that may take a moment.
Okay, I think our first prayer should be that our prayers are acceptable in your sight, O God, and that I follow the prayers that you would want them to be. So, searching for inspiration for the prayers, I was in the garden because you can't go very far. And I was inspired, first of all, by this little camellia. And this camellia decided to flower in January. And so part of me wanted to say, no, save yourself. Don't flower now. But then I thought, you know, sometimes you have to step out. You have to go for it. And maybe we should take some wisdom from the camellia, who was out there blooming, heralding the spring. And sometimes we have to step out too. So our first prayer is that, Father, we step out with you, that we listen to your call and we follow where you would place us. But also the camellia reminded me of something else, that it is the only flower on the bush. And sometimes there's someone in our life who is the one who presses our buttons, the one who does things a little bit differently, the one who needs a little bit extra grace. So when we think about that, who is it that we should be praying for? Who is that one in our life who stands out? So I'm going to pause whilst we take a moment to pray for that person, that someone special. Father, we are encouraged that when times are hard, stressful, and challenging in a myriad of different ways, you are sovereign, and the world you have designed is turning, that we have our place in it, and you look with favour upon us. We thank you this week for good news for Young and Marion, and thank you for the blessings that they have managed to spread, even when under duress. So, Father, we think now of people who are in our lives who do spread blessing, and we lift them up to you now. When we miss being together, Father, prompt us to communicate with someone who might like to hear our voice, receive our text, or answer our call. Guide us to do your will in your service. Help us to hear your voice clearly calling us to the right path. Who springs to mind when we talk about communicating with someone? Let's act on this week and pray for them now. Father, we pray for all those who feel lonely and isolated. We ask that you would come close to them, but also that you would lead us to those who need us to come alongside them. Father, we pray for those who are struggling because they are ill or sad, or the people they love are ill or sad. We pray for the bereaved, of which there are many. We pray that you would enfold them in your loving arms and draw them close. Let's each lift up one person we know who is struggling and hold them in prayer before the Lord. We also pray for all those whose job it is to care for the people who are sick and suffering in any way. So let's now lift up one person who has been working hard and working beyond the call of duty that we know. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, you are our rock in times of trouble. You are evergreen, steadfast and holy. Now that we know this truth and recognize it, help us to go out and spread this knowledge amongst our community and tell of your great love. Finally, as our prayers come to a close, not with a plant this time, but with a page from a book that's very popular just now. Let's read this. What do we do when our hearts hurt? Asked the boy. We wrap them with friendship, shared tears and time till they wake hopeful and happy again. Who needs our friendship just now? Or who do we need to ask to be our friend right now? Let's lift them up in prayer. and then let's set about doing something about it. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jenny. I didn't want to put you under undue pressure for the prayers there, but there we go. Sorry about that. We are going to close off our service actually with a song that we would normally start a service with. It's Come People of the Risen King. Normally we'd be at the beginning of the service and we'd be celebrating getting together to be able to worship. Now obviously we aren't able to be physically in the same space as each other, but I'm deliberately putting it at the end of the service because actually it's the mindset of actually when we depart, when we are in the situation that we are doing whatever we're doing with during the week, that is as much the place where we worship God as it is when we are all together. So we close with Come People of the Risen King. God, you are everything to us, giving us life, filling us with love, and setting us free from sin that we might live in you. Accept the work of our hands this day. Take our lives, give us your peace, and renew us in the service of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen.